Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And glad to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox, 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And resource consultants, as always, standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. When we say life and truth matter, remember the words of Paul to protege Timothy: watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. It is a danger to just have doctrine. The Pharisees had that. But we must not only have correct doctrine, but we are called to have life. Peter talks about it as being a partaker of the divine life. It doesn't mean that we change our ontology, but it does mean that we are aware of the fact that as we go through the tangled web of human existence, we do not do so in isolation as believers. Another person is involved, and that person is the precious counselor, the Holy Spirit sent by Jesus Christ, conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. When I think about John, the beloved apostle, and his relationship with Jesus Christ, I want that same relationship for myself. In fact, I want self, the carnal, the fleshly nature, to be overwhelmed by the divine nature that has been engrafted within me. I'm reminded of what Peter told his hearers. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And Luke says he gathered eyewitness testimony and carefully investigated everything. If internal evidence points to anything, it is to the reality that the gospel writers were inspired to faithfully narrate a core set of facts by which they themselves had been radically transformed. Let's go right to the phone lines. Tariq, listening in Richmond, Virginia. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, sir? I had a fairly simple question.
Sure.
My question was, I know as a child growing up, I was brought up in church, and I often heard the scripture, people always say, honor thy mother and father. But my question is this, it never really is explained. I had a disagreement with my mother about something that she was wrong in, and she called me a dishonorable, disrespectful son, all because I had to raise my voice a little bit, which is telling her, Mom, that's not right, that's wrong. So in her opinion, she said that that's dishonorable. She often threatened the scripture, honor your mother and father. And I just wanted a better explanation of that, because I'm a parent and I'm a father today, and I have to raise my son myself, and I want to teach him the same thing. But I'm sure at some point he will want to know what is it to dishonor your mother and father.
You know, I think that certainly bringing correction with gentleness and with respect, if it's necessary, is not to dishonor your mother or your father. But when your mom said that you raised your voice and you were disrespecting her, perhaps in honoring her, you can say, "Mom, I'm imperfect, and perhaps I didn't say this in the way that I should have said it, but the reason I said it is because I deeply love you and care for you. I honor you as my mother. I honor you as the one who gave me life, and I love you deeply and dearly." So you might even humbly recognize that perhaps the manner or the attitude that you had, even though what you said may have been correct, was incorrect.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Well, I just wanted to get a better, because no one ever really explains that scripture. You know, a lot of parents and elders, they use that scripture, and I don't want to be a parent that is because I disagree with something that my son that he might be right in. I just don't want to be a parent that be like the Bible says, honor your mother and father, even though he might be correct about something and make them feel bad. But, you know, so I just need to get a better idea of what is it to just honor your parents. Like, what is that exactly?
Well, it's to respect the God-given authority and relationship between a father and a son, between a mother and a son, and so forth. So it is respecting the fact that your parents are your parents, and therefore being obedient to them. Now, there is a time when you leave your mother and your father and you cling to your wife, and the two of you become one flesh, and now you have a son yourself, I think you mentioned, and you want your son to grow up in such a way that as he honors you, he recognizes that there is a heavenly Father that he has to honor in every way as well, in his thought life, in the things that he does, and ultimately in the love that he manifests. And that's the greatest kind of honor you can give.
Okay. Yeah, just last thing, I'm sure I know you have other people waiting. Now, how do I exactly deal with that when my mother, my mother was raped, I would say, and so she didn't really take care of me. So we kind of reunited our relationship, and I guess a lot of conflicts come about with that because I guess over the years I've grown in God and I have a lot of wisdom in God. And it's like a lot of things I know biblically, she doesn't know. And it's like we go back and forth because it's like she's wrong. And I just try to be like, I get frustrated because I'm like, Mom, that's not biblical.
Yeah. Well, and I think that what you want to communicate is communicate through the testimony of your life, because you have come to understand some things that she's still struggling with. Honor her through the testimony of not only your life, but your love. And when God gives the opportunity, use your lips as well. But remember, you can't force feed everyone, or in many cases, it's really hard to try to teach a parent. It's just because of the relationship. It's awkward. It's difficult. So sometimes instead of speaking, what I would counsel you to do is just pray. Pray that God would bring other people and other circumstances into her life so that she comes to a true valuation of things. And thank the Lord that though you had a rocky relationship because of neglect and so forth, you still have that relationship you can cherish today. And I commend you for doing that.
All right. Thank you for your time, sir.
You got it. Thank you for your call back to the phone lines. James in Lexington. Hi, James.
Hi, Hank. My question for you is, how many people did Jesus kill?
Well, it depends on how you figure it out. I mean, as the Son of God, he was and is involved in all that God does. And certainly, if you look at the angel of Yahweh or the pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ, the Old Testament tells us in Isaiah that the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. Or remember the very many instances of divine judgment that you find throughout the Bible, from Uzzah in 2 Samuel chapter 6 to judgment on the nations. So remember, we oftentimes think of God as only a God of love. And that is a God that would only be a figment of our imagination, because the God of the Bible is not only a God of love. The God of the Bible is a God of justice, whose eyes are too pure to look on evil, who cannot tolerate wrong. And so ultimately, we want to recognize a full-orbed perspective with respect to the Bible as communication of the nature of God. We are coming up to station break. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you can help this ministry financially, it would be deeply appreciated. You can send your gift via the mailbox 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org, or talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Be right back with more.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More is the story of a transformed life. Hank Hanegraaff passionately proclaims that truth matters and equips readers to defend the essentials of the historic Christian faith. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to explain why his life and ministry were radically transformed by a three-word phrase, life matters more. Why does life matter more? Read Truth Matters, Life Matters More, and discover the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. or call 888-7000-CRI. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Alan, listening in Missouri on the web. Hi, Alan.
Hello, Hank, and God bless you and your ministry.
Thank you.
I've been listening to your broadcast for a while now. I purchased several of your books, and through those and your broadcast, I've come to trust a lot of your judgment and your the way you put things. I came into possession of a book called History of Theology, An Introduction to Christian Thought, written by Alistair E. McGrath.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I've read over 100 pages of it already, and I've enjoyed what I've been learning, but then I realized, I don't know who this guy is. Is this someone that you trust as a theologian, or are there any problems that you would point out about him or his book that I might want to think about?
Well, he's an excellent Reformed theologian. He's an excellent apologist. He is a prolific author, and he has done tremendous work for the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I would profoundly disagree with him on some issues, including his advocacy of theistic evolution. I think theistic evolution is the worst of all possibilities. If you want to believe in evolution, that's fine. Don't blame God for it. It's cruel, it's inefficient, and it flies in the face of the very nature of God, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, wow. I did not realize that he was that he pursued that thought. That doesn't show up in the book that I've read so far. But,
no, and again, you know, to say this is just simply to make a qualification. It does not mean that what you're reading is not helpful and worthwhile. You can certainly learn a tremendous amount in a helpful manner from his writings and his teachings. As I said, he's done a lot of tremendous work for the kingdom of our Lord.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Suzanne, listening in Marysville, Washington. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, and thank you for your ministry. I have a question about The Harbinger by Kahn, what your view is on it.
Well, I mean, look, I've written some novels, and of course the idea is to use the power of story to communicate your worldview or to communicate logical truth propositions. At least that's what I have done in both my historical fiction and in a book that I wrote called The Fuse of Armageddon. I wrote both the series and the last book I mentioned with a friend of mine, Sigmund Brouwer, who is just an excellent novelist. But again, our whole idea was to use the power of story to communicate something with respect to end times or eschatology. And this is what Kahn is doing as well. But the problem that I see is that he is suggesting that he knew what would happen before 9/11. And if that is really true, if God had truly revealed to him what was to come, why was he not standing out in front of the World Trade Center on 9/11 warning people not to enter? But not only that, I think that the biggest problem is his prostitution of the biblical text, where he takes events that are foretold by the prophets and then fulfilled, and then he transfers the fulfillment from the fulfillment given to us in the scriptures to something that he says is going to happen in the 21st century or happened in the 21st century. So I think that's a very significant problem.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate your views on it, and I appreciate your program.
Thank you, Suzanne. Appreciate your call so much. Back to the phone lines. Talk to Sandeep in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, listening on Bot Radio. Hi.
Hi, Mr. Hank. How are you doing?
Doing well.
I've been listening to you for a while, and just lately I've been trying to, get a direction in my life from God. So I've been praying a lot and on a regular basis and reading the Bible. And I was just wondering, how do you know and how long does it take to get to a point where you are sensitive to the presence and the direction in which God is leading you to?
Yeah, well, we want to cultivate the presence of God within our lives. Our temple is the temple in which the Holy Spirit dwells. In other words, Jesus sent a comforter. And when I say that, we're talking about another person and the life of that person being engrafted in us. And that person is God. And God has a very strong personality. Our personalities must yield to Him so that we partake not in our fleshly nature, but in the divine nature. That's what Peter is talking about when he communicates that we are to participate in the divine nature and to live a life that's not just changed, but exchanged the life of Christ within. So we need to be attentive to the indwelling Christ, the indwelling Spirit, as we move through the tangled web of human existence. We need to cultivate that relationship because in doing so, we recognize that we go through every circumstance with another person. And that person is giving us direction. He is giving us His counsel. He is conforming us to His image. So to be sensitive to the presence of the Holy Spirit means that we are aware of the fact that we don't walk alone. We're always dealing with another person in our life that guides us, that directs us, that chides us when we go in the wrong direction. And by not being aware of that, we can actually quench that voice within us such that we no longer hear the voice within us and are no longer sensitive to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Right. All right, got you. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Judy next in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Judy.
Yes, I was calling. I've got this cassette tapes on Straight Fire. And what is your opinion of that? Is it biblically correct?
Well, I think it's wrong to say or to suggest that the Pentecostal charismatic movement is as dangerous as any cult or heresy. I think that is not being careful with words, and that sentiment, unfortunately, has been conveyed. I think that we can stand shoulder to shoulder with Pentecostals who adhere to the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And I've known many fine Pentecostal pastors and people around the world who have a genuine love for our Lord and commitment to the essentials of the historic Christian faith. So I may disagree with them on secondary issues. For example, I disagree with the Pentecostal notion that speaking in tongues is the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I think at best you can argue that it is a evidence, but to say it is the evidence goes beyond what Scripture says. So I would vehemently disagree with that, and I would debate that vigorously. But ultimately, I wouldn't find that to be a point of ultimate division in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and all things charity. So again, I think we should debate the secondary issues, but do it with gentleness and with respect.
Uh-huh. But what about miracles for today, like healing? And sometimes, you know, they say that you don't get your healing because you don't have enough faith.
Well, and again, I think that's a wonderful qualification that you've made. Sometimes they say within the Pentecostal movement and within the charismatic movement, there are false teachers. I've written about them in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. But that does not mean that we can broad brush all of the charismatic movement or all of Pentecostalism. This notion of word of faith is oftentimes directly denounced by charismatics and Pentecostals who recognize that what is being taught by preachers like Joel Osteen or Joyce Meyer or John Hagee and the like is simply false. So when Joel Osteen says that faith is a force, that words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith you can create your own reality, that is a prostitution of the biblical concept of faith. And so he compromises, confuses, and sometimes outright contradicts essential Christian doctrine. And there we should take a stand, because the essentials are the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. They're foundational to the gospel. They're the very doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood. So on those issues, you can take a stand, but I don't think you want a broad brush Pentecostalism, nor I don't agree with strict cessationism, because in my view, though miracles aren't normative, God, for his own purposes, can do miracles, and I do believe does miracles, but they're not normative. The miracles were used to ultimately demonstrate Jesus Christ for who he was and the apostles for who they were, and this gives authority to the scriptures, because the Bible is founded on the prophets and the apostles with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone, and we can't lay another foundation. So I don't think miracles are normative, but I also don't think that you can believe in strict cessationism. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the broadcast.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.